Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Take This Job and Ship It: How Corporate Greed and Braindead Politics Are Selling Out America is a 2006 political nonfiction book by former U.S. Senator Byron L. Dorgan. Written in the tradition of public policy critique, it examines how trade decisions, corporate lobbying, and partisan dysfunction can weaken American workers, communities, and long-term economic strength. Dorgan uses his experience in Congress to argue that the country has tolerated policies that reward offshoring, widen inequality, and disconnect elected officials from the people they represent. The book is not a technical economics text, but a forceful political argument aimed at readers concerned with manufacturing decline, middle-class insecurity, and the influence of money in Washington. Its purpose is to persuade readers that these problems are not inevitable results of globalization, but consequences of choices made by corporations and policymakers. That makes the book both a critique of American trade policy and a broader warning about democratic accountability. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, a critique of free trade policies that reward offshoring over domestic employment. A central theme of the book is Dorgan's challenge to trade policies that encourage American companies to move production abroad while leaving workers and local economies behind. He presents offshoring not as a neutral feature of modern commerce, but as a political outcome shaped by laws and incentives that favor corporate cost-cutting. This gives the book its distinctive tone. It does not merely lament job loss, but connects it to policy decisions that can be changed. By framing trade through the lens of labor displacement, Dorgan argues that the country has accepted a model in which cheaper imports and short-term profits are treated as more important than stable employment and industrial capacity. The practical implication is that trade debates should be judged not only by consumer prices, but also by their effect on wages, tax bases, and community resilience. This focus makes the book especially relevant to readers trying to understand why deindustrialization became such a persistent political issue. Secondly, corporate greed as a political force rather than just a business attitude. The book treats corporate greed as an organized influence on public policy, not simply as excessive private ambition. Dorgan's argument is that large firms and their lobbyists shape legislation, regulatory choices, and public rhetoric in ways that protect profit even when those choices harm workers or the broader economy. This is important because it shifts the discussion from individual moral failings to structural power. In that framing, the problem is not only that some executives pursue self-interest, but that political institutions often fail to counterbalance that pressure. The book therefore links corporate behavior to lobbying, campaign influence, and legislative capture. Readers interested in political economy will find this useful because it explains why certain harmful policies can persist even when their effects are widely recognized. The book's warning is that once private interests dominate policymaking, public goals such as fair competition, decent wages, and economic security become secondary to narrow financial advantage. Thirdly, Washington dysfunction and the failure of elected officials to defend the public interest. Another important idea in the book is that political failure is not accidental. Dorgan portrays Congress and national leadership as too often passive, compromised, or detached from the consequences of their choices. The phrase "braindead politics" signals his belief that policy debate has become shallow and reactive, with too little serious attention to long-term national interest. He argues that elected officials frequently accept corporate talking points, avoid hard decisions, and allow special interests to define the terms of debate. This critique goes beyond partisanship because it suggests that the problem lies in a broader culture of political timidity. The result is a government that may appear active, but in practice struggles to confront structural economic problems. For readers, this section of the book helps explain why policy reforms are difficult even when evidence of harm is visible. It also underscores the democratic cost of weak representation when politicians do not defend the public interest. The people most affected by economic change have the least influence over the outcome. Fourthly, the shrinking American middle class as the real cost of policy choices. Dorgan repeatedly centers the book on the consequences for ordinary working Americans, especially the erosion of middle-class security. Rather than treating job losses as isolated business decisions, he presents them as part of a broader pattern in which wages stagnate, benefits weaken, and communities lose the economic foundation that supports stable family life. This emphasis matters because it grounds the book's political critique in lived reality. The effects of trade imbalance and corporate outsourcing are described not just as abstract statistics, but as pressures that affect factories, towns, and household prospects. By focusing on the middle class, the book argues that economic policy should be evaluated by whether it sustains broad prosperity, not whether it maximizes returns for investors. This gives the argument a moral dimension without making it sentimental. It asks readers to consider who benefits from the current system and who bears the cost. That makes the book especially relevant to debates over inequality, industrial decline, and the social consequences of globalization. Lastly, a call for accountability, reform, and a different model of economic patriotism. Although the book is critical, it is not only a complaint about decline. It also points toward a reformist vision in which public policy is expected to defend national economic interests and ordinary citizens. Dorgan's broader message is that America can choose a different direction if it takes lobbying, trade rules, and political responsiveness seriously. He presents accountability as essential. Voters should demand that lawmakers explain who benefits from specific policies and whether those policies strengthen the country over time. This makes the book more than a protest text, because it tries to reconnect economics with civic responsibility. Its form of economic patriotism does not reject commerce or innovation. Instead, it insists that global engagement should not come at the expense of domestic workers and democratic integrity. For readers, this creates a useful framework for thinking about reform. The book encourages skepticism toward simplistic pro-market claims and pushes readers to ask whether growth is broadly shared, politically legitimate, and sustainable. In conclusion, take this job and ship. It will be most valuable to readers interested in American politics, trade policy, labor issues, and the influence of corporate money on government. It speaks directly to people who want a concise, partisan, but experience-based critique of how offshoring and weakened public accountability have affected the middle class. Because Byron Dorgan writes as a long-serving senator rather than as an academic economist or detached commentator, the book has the character of insider testimony that gives it a different kind of authority from many books in the same genre. It is less about abstract theory and more about the political incentives that shape real outcomes. Readers looking for a detailed policy manual may find it more argumentative than technical. But those looking for a clear explanation of why economic discontent became so politically important will find it useful. Its main strength is that it connects trade, lobbying, and democratic dysfunction into one coherent critique, making it a good choice for readers who want to understand the political roots of industrial decline and middle-class pressure in the United States. If you would like to support Byron L. Dorgan, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.